Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are back here in the studio. I'm coming off of the road with a little bit of travel here most recently. Took out the mobile studio and went up north. So if you want to check out where we are in the mobile studio, you can head on over to Facebook. That's probably the best place. And I'm posting it on a dedicated page called the Innovators Studio. And what we do is we go out and travel around the country, and we're interviewing innovators that are doing innovations in non-traditional technologies, non-traditional industries, non-traditional areas in the strangest of places. We've done a couple of those shows. Probably the one most popular was my trip to Paducah, Kentucky, and Finn Gourmet Foods. If you have not heard that episode, go back over to killerinnovations.com, go through the archive, and have an opportunity to hear about, you know, an innovation that is transforming the local economy in the most non-obvious industry, in this case, fishing in the rivers, but having a huge impact on people's lives there. So with that, we're going to hop right into today's show. We've got a special guest, Tal Gurr. Tal is the author of The Art of Fully Living. Now, Tal is a blogger. Some would refer to him as a lifestyle entrepreneur. He has spent a decade pursuing 100 major goals around the globe. Tal, thanks for joining us here at Killer Innovations.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, Tal, give us a little bit of background. When I took a look at your book and took a little bit of your background and history, there had to have been something early in your life that kind of motivated you to do what you're doing now. So give us a little bit of your backstory.
Well, I lived a pretty kind of normal life in the sense that I, went to high school, then I did my bachelor's degree in computer science, actually, got a job, a 9-to-5 job, and then I felt stuck. I felt stuck, and that actually led to a whole big journey that I didn't really plan, but it just happened.
So in this case, you know, how many years did you kind of do the what I would call traditional job?
Around 10 years, maybe a little bit less, 8-7 years.
Yeah. And so, you know, in your bio, it identifies you as a devoted adventurer. So while you were working the job, were you off doing other things kind of as a hobby and decided that that was a passion, or what was it?
Well, I'm from Israel, so usually Israelis after the army go for a big trip around the world because, you know, you can't travel when you're in the army. So after 3 years in the army, I went to Australia. I did a motorcycle trip there, and then I went to New Zealand, did another trip there, and then Asia. So that was like, let's say, my first big adventure. And I guess, like, you know, it was in me. Even when I went to university and went to my 9-to-5, it just, you know, came out later.
Okay. It's interesting because I've got a number of friends. Actually, a friend of mine is a senior executive at a company in Canada, and he does this. He says it's kind of his way to blow out the cobwebs. But he takes this trip from like Calgary out to the last tip island in Alaska, and he's gone for like 3 weeks, and he's by himself. And he uses that as kind of his way to be radically different from, I guess, from the 9 to 5, being stuck in an office behind a behind a desk. So tell us a little bit more about what was the spark or the impetus or the inspiration for your book.
Well, the book kind of wanted to kind of write itself. I did like this big journey around the world, like 10 years, 100 life goals. And a lot of people kind of ask me, why don't you write a book? And to be honest, I had a little bit of limiting beliefs about my writing skills, about my English, and I kind of constantly postponed that. But when my journey ended, I knew that I was ready, and I had a lot of support as well, either authors and friends, and yeah, it just happened.
So the inspiration for the book is if when I flipped through and looked at it and read some other reviews about it, it looked at really the whole impetus of this, you know, 10 years, 100 life goals was also trying to deal with some things in your past, like, you know, your bio points out about facing, you know, crippling self-doubt and a struggle for a sense of purpose. Give us a little bit of context around that.
Well, you know, like when you go on a journey, especially a new journey, doubts creeps in. And part of the challenge is to kind of overcome those doubts. So I'll just give you an example from my journey. I went to do an Ironman triathlon, which is quite a big goal. And before that, I was a smoker. So it was kind of a big leap from, let's say, more of a kind of nightlife lifestyle to be really fit and going for my dream. So throughout the journey, I had kind of question marks, like, can I do it? Like, is it possible? Is it real? Like, you know, and so I had to kind of interview people. I hired a coach. I guess, like, you know, that's basically the basis of the answer. Every big goal had at its own challenge. And once I finished, let's say, this big journey, I guess, like, I became like a different person in that sense. So I grew as a person. And that's basically the big story here. It's not really about the 100 life goals. It's more about growing up or developing yourself, basically.
So here's a question, right? Because a lot of people try, you know, maybe they don't do a, 100 life goals. But, you know, everybody would like to be maybe a little bit healthier or happier or more successful. How much of those experiences do you think stick versus what a lot of people experience? Like, okay, we're good for the New Year's resolution, I'm going to do a diet, but by February, I'm no longer, you know, committed to that. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, like when someone says that he wants to be happier or more successful, it's not really defined. So it's pretty vague. And so the idea of actually setting a goal is to make it more specific. So you know that you succeeded in your journey. So it's more of a container. I see goals are not really the destination. What the destination really is, like, you growing and developing because of the goal that you set. But you need to have some container, some kind of a story, let's say. And so that's where I think goals are pretty powerful. The New Year's resolutions, I mean, it's nice, like, at the end of the year to set it. But from my experience and also statistics, like, they don't really work. I think 90% of people actually give up on their New Year's resolutions. So there's, you know, that's actually, like, you know, if you read the book, the book has a lot of the tactics and strategies to make sure your journey is successful.
Well, that's it. You mean, as I was saying, everybody would like to do something, but they tend to take it at a very, very high level don't get specific, right? It's, I want to be healthier. I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to be less grouchy with my kids, you know, whatever it is. But it tends to be that vagueness And it there isn't a stickiness factor to it, or there's no sense of accomplishment, I guess, is one way to think about it. So in your case, then it really is about being clear on the goals. Do you think about then linking goals together to achieve bigger goals, or are they all individual standalones?
Yes, 100%. Actually, the way the book is constructed is every chapter is a year, and every year I focus on a different area of life. So the first year was the year of socializing, then there was the year of fitness, and there was the year of freedom, and so forth. And for every year, what I made sure is that there's at least one big goal. For example, the Ironman triathlon, there were quite a few goals leading to that event. So running a marathon, let's say, or running a sprint triathlon, and so forth. I really believe in what I call immersion. So basically, when you, let's say, take an area of focus, let's say, again, fitness, and you immerse yourself for 1 year and set like those kind of, let's say, milestone goals, like it's much easier because you create momentum to your big goal. And also you learn more lessons, or you extract more wisdom out of your journey. So, and I can actually expand a little bit more on that.
Great. We'll pick that up when we come back. We're going to take a quick commercial break and let our advertisers get a minute or here too. But we'll come right back, continue our conversation with Tal, author of The Art of Fully Living, One Man, 10 Years, 100 Life Goals. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the Biz Talk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than 1 million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We're picking up our conversation with Tal Gura, author of The Art of Fully Living, One Man, 10 Years, 100 Life Goals. Now, Tal, as we were going to commercial break, you were talking a little bit more about, you know, the structure and the setting up of these goals. You were talking about, you know, basically having themes around the years, you know, the year being, you know, the year of fitness, et cetera. Were there any of those maybe years or goals within any specific years that kind of stand out in, as far as your memory of, like you've mentioned the Ironman. I couldn't even imagine, you know, going after doing an Ironman competition. I'm the couch potato kind. But are there other examples of some of those goals that were maybe even more transformational to you than you even thought it would be when you started?
Well, to be honest, I think I was pretty surprised from year number four. I called it the year of contribution. So just to give a little bit of background, year number three was the year of freedom, where I basically set myself a goal to achieve financial independence and location independence. By the way, the way I define financial independence is like passive income greater than your expenses. So you don't necessarily need to be a millionaire to achieve financial freedom. You just need passive income, again, that is greater than your expenses. And basically that frees you up. The reason I mention it is because once I achieved my financial freedom and started to travel the world, I thought, all right, great. I achieved the biggest dream I've ever had. And now I'll be happy. You know, that's the dream. So I went to Brazil, to the carnival, and traveled all around Europe and did a lot of great stuff. But then something was missing. And what was missing, I realized later, I wasn't giving enough. I was just like really focusing on my own success. And then actually because of that, I launched the Year of Contribution, where I really contributed and helped like to other people, other businesses, and so forth.
And so in this case, what you think may make you happy is not completely satisfying all the way through, right? It's an interesting point, right? You know, people tend to think, you know, money solves everything, but it, you know, it's happiness and satisfaction and being a part of society is much bigger than that. So in this case, you know, you know the book is around 10 years, 100 life goals. Did the goals as far as structure or causing you to stretch change from like year one to year 10, or was it pretty the amount of effort, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask, is the amount of effort to go after some of these goals change over the starting from year one getting to year 10?
Yeah, it changed dramatically. And I want to say something about happiness because it's a very important component of the journey. So a lot of time we believe that once we achieve something, then we'll be happy. And so we really we're not really prioritizing happiness. We're basically prioritizing a goal. And what I learned is that I don't have to prioritize my goal before happiness. So I can actually say happiness is first, and then whatever I want to achieve comes second. Now, that sounds a little bit strange for someone who's actually made his life like all about goal setting, but I put my goal second, because basically you can untie the relationship between goals and, let's say, how you feel about them. Like, so you don't necessarily even have to succeed with your goals in order to be happy. Just the fact that you're on a journey, just your a journey of fulfillment is enough. So, yeah, happiness is a big question for a lot of people when they go on a journey. And I'm happy even actually to talk a little bit more about that, because there's a lot of insights that came up from this journey.
Yeah, back to the point of how did the effort level change from year one to year 10 on your goals? So,
all right. So, I'll give you an example. So the year number 10, actually the last year, was the year of creativity. And it was just like fun. I went to, you know, to, I learned drumming and appeared on Burning Man in front of 10,000 people. I learned salsa. So from like, I would say like being a little bit more serious in the beginning, very like, let's say, methodic and systematic, let's say, I became more light as I advanced. Also, I realized that I can be like, you know, I call it like, how would I say it? So spirituality can come before anything we set. So when I say spirituality, I mean like being connected to something bigger than like, let's say, just like a random goal that you set. So you feel like an intuitive feeling to go for a goal. So that's actually changed. So I became, from, let's say, more logical and systematic to more flow and fun and creativity.
Let's go back and talk a little bit about the happiness. I know you've got more to say about this. And it's the question I get a lot from either readers of my book or listeners of the show about, you know, does, you know, delivering a new piece of technology or a new innovation make you happy? And I agree with your point about separation of, you know, it is about, can you be happy without being focused on the end deliverable, but actually be happy about the process and the experience. So what's your thoughts on happiness? Let's expand on that a little bit.
So, you know, when I traveled to Peru, I met a woman. She was a cleaner in our hotel, and she was constantly happy. Constantly, she was singing and dancing, you know, while cleaning our room. And I was amazed every day, constantly happy. And I asked her, "What is your secret?" And she said, "Well, I have a job." And basically, she had a very simple rule: if I have a job, then I'm happy. That actually made me realize that, like, we put a lot of obstacle to our happiness. Oh, we need, like, you know, a great job. We need, like, the most, I don't know, the best car. We need so many things to be happy. So then I started to kind of minimize, or let's say, make conditions for my happiness. So I reduced the condition, and I made happiness first. And that actually changed everything, basically. I became more happy on my journey, and yeah, everything just became easier and more effortless just because I didn't put conditions.
But can you make it be that quick where you just make the mental decision about what qualify or where I'm going to focus my happiness? Because we tend to have habits over years about what we thought would make us happy. And can you just drop it that quickly?
Well, it's a belief.
Yeah.
You know, so one belief that I believe right now is nothing can make me happy. I'm the only one who makes me happy because of something. So just changing that beliefs, and also like your beliefs about beliefs. If you believe that beliefs are the truth, then okay, you may be stuck, all right? But if you believe that, like, you know, beliefs are something that you construct along the way, that would be very helpful.
Perfect. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up a conversation. And Tal, I'm going to ask, when we come back from this break, for you to share maybe two or three kind of key findings that you had out of your experience with your 100 life goals. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here at Killer Innovations. You're listening on the BizTalk Radio Network.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We're continuing our conversation with Tal Gur, author of The Art of Fully Living, One Man, 10 Years, 100 Life Goals. So, Tal, one of the things we ask all of our guests on the show to share is kind of a summary of two or three things that the listeners today, that things that you learned that you could share with the listeners today that they could apply to, you know, their setting of goals or their success at goals. So I'll hand it off to you. But, you know, what is it, if you summarize the entire book, your entire 10-year experience, what would be two or three things you could partake to the audience?
Well, that's a hard question, actually, in terms of summarizing everything. I would say that the biggest lesson for me was that a crisis or challenge that you have is not necessarily what I would say is like that a crisis can lead to a calling, or a crisis can lead to something great. And so when you know that, then when a crisis hits you, you're not like freaking out. You're just like realizing, oh, here's a crisis. I mean, I had many crises along during this journey. It wasn't just successes, yeah? One of those crises, I actually got divorced along the way. I mean, it's a whole story, and you can actually read it in the book. But everything led to something else, which was really beautiful, I have to say. So that would probably be the biggest lesson that comes out of that. I'm happy to share more lessons if you want.
Yep, feel free. We're all ears.
All right, so maybe another lesson would be that, like, to really go from the inside out. So a lot of time we focus on the mechanics of things, that's the mechanics of goal settings or the how-to. And a lot of it is mindset, actually, including, like, you know, we just talked about happiness. Happiness really is mindset. If you constantly look outside for happiness, right, then, again, you're attached, you're conditioned. But if you actually source, let's say, again, like everything from the inside, even like, let's say I'm chasing for freedom, but I feel free inside, and then I chase freedom, the journey would be easier. It would, or the goal would be easier to reach because you're already feeling it inside. So there's a lot to talk about beliefs, a lot to talk about, again, mindset, and I talk about it in the book as well.
Share with me what you believe the role is, though, because, I mean, the goal setting, it sounds like from, you know, year one where you were very logical, you talked a little bit about, you know, kind of the spirituality. You know, what is the role of kind of your intuition of kind of knowing where to go and what to do next and what the next goal should be? Or what's your take on that? There's a lot of people who either very pro kind of intuition, trusting your gut to, you know, that could be misleading. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Steve Jobs used to say that you can't connect the dots forward, you can only connect them backwards, so you have to trust something. And you can call it intuition, karma, God, whatever. So a lot of time, we're facing a decision, and we can use our logical mind, which is pretty powerful tool, or we can use intuition, which is more of, let's say, kind of fast thinking or something that come to you really in a flash of a moment. Now, what I believe personally is that intuition is like a skill. It's like you're going to the gym and develop your muscles. You can develop your intuition. And how do you develop your intuition? You actually practice, you train. You train to be more intuitive, to trust more of your intuition. And from my experience, I found out that the more I practice being intuitive, the better my intuition, or the more accurate, let's say, my intuition is. And actually, there's a book that talks about it and also gives a lot of, I forgot the name of the book, I think it's called Fast Thinking or Slow Thinking, but it's actually like talks exactly about that, And from my experience, again, like, it's something I believe in.
So how do you practice being more intuitive? When you said practice, what does that really mean?
Yeah, I mean, just to give a small example, you can, you know, I can ask you, what's the time right now? And rather than look at the watch, right, you basically guess. Or and then just, again, validate with your mind, was it accurate? And if you do it more and more and more, suddenly it's amazing. Like, your intuition is pretty, pretty spot on. I believe that, again, my journey turned me to become more intuitive because I had to. Sometimes I realized that using my mind wasn't enough, because when I used my mind, it led me to kind of roadblocks. And I had to kind of, like, for, I'll give you just an example. One of the my intuition really led me to Colombia, to dance salsa in Colombia, not actually where I was. The logical reasoning was, no, stay here, like, you know, you have a business to run or whatever. But my intuition told me Colombia. And when I went to Colombia, then a lot of things came up because of that. New people, new initiatives, and so forth. So I really believe in this kind of taking a leap of faith and jump sometimes. And yeah, what's the worst that can happen, all right? You can always go back and to the logical mind and kind of reconstruct, like, something else. So I really believe in kind of, let's say, experimenting. And not necessarily, like, I wouldn't say intuition is the answer and that's it. Just experiment with intuition, see what happens.
Well, that's an interesting point, because a lot of people are, you know, it's the fear factor, right? The fear of failure. But if you don't try, you don't know, right?
Yeah, the fear of failure is huge, all right? And I would say my biggest, again, advice would be to redefine failure. What is failure for you? For me, failure is not necessarily achieving or not achieving the goal. It's not trying or not going for it. That's failure for me. So, for example, right now, I actually had an intuition to go to Tuscany. I don't even know what I have in Tuscany, but I just booked a ticket yesterday. It's crazy, yeah, you know, but, like, a lot of things that I don't even know will happen just because I'm going to Tuscany. And so I feel like, you know, I cannot fail because I've already went for it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what happened in Tuscany.
So let me ask you, did you buy the ticket refundable?
Yes, in some way. It's not refundable, but, like, you know, I kind of rented on Airbnb, and Airbnb gives, like, you know, you can cancel. So, but I'm not going to cancel. I actually already, like, you know, told people to come, and so I already made a big deal out of that.
And I think that's part of it also, telling people, right? It's like they tell you with weight loss, tell your friends, you know, that what your target is, and they'll ask you every time you're out for Friday night drinks or whatever, how you're doing on your goal, right? It's the, you know, it's that commitment thing. So, hey, Tal, if people want to follow and keep track of your adventures, where's the best place for them to keep track of what you're up to?
Well, I have a blog. The blog is fullylived.com, or you can just Google my name, Tal Gur. And also, I think, like, the book is a pretty good introduction, and you can find it on Amazon.
So it's on Amazon. Is it available for audiobook too, or?
Yes, audiobook, paperback, and Kindle.
Perfect. Hey, real quick, we got a little bit of time left. You talked earlier about, you know, the fear factor that you even had in writing the book, because you kept putting it off. What was the thing that finally convinced you to sit down and put this down in writing?
Well, there were a lot of synchronicities in terms of this book, and at some point I couldn't ignore that. All right, I couldn't ignore, like, the amount of people coming, and it just felt also a good you know, just kind of to close the chapter. It's 10 years, a big journey. So I felt like if I write this book, I can breathe and go into the next journey, which is not another 100 life goals, or it's not really around goal setting or anything. But I really felt like, you know, closing a chapter. What happened also was that I really strengthened my beliefs in myself, in my ability to produce a really good book. As I said, I had a lot of support. I had three editors. So even though my English is not perfect, I made sure it's kind of perfect. And again, like, it's a pretty good story as well. It was really easy in that sense to write that story because, again, every year was a chapter. I don't know. It just happened in many ways. and I'm pretty happy to move on.
Perfect. So all of you out there, check out the book, Tal Gur, author of The Art of Fully Living, One Man, 10 Years, 100 Life Goals. We'll have all the links up at Killer Innovations. Tal, thanks for joining us on the show today. For the listeners, don't go anywhere. The next segment, it's our new format we're still experimenting with called 5 Minutes to New Ideas. This next segment will trigger you to sit down, get your notebooks out, come up with some new ideas, some new innovations to go change the world. Do not let the innovation antibodies get you down. Don't let your own self-talk talk you out of trying something. Sit down, spend some time, get creative, and go change the world. And with that, thanks for taking the time today. Again, we're coming up in the next segment. Don't go anywhere, but you're listening to Kill Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473, 800-245-0473, 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
This segment of the show is what I call 5 minutes to new ideas, designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Each episode will challenge you to think differently about yourself, your business, and your product and services by asking unique, funny, and sometimes crazy questions. These questions are designed to force you to look beyond the obvious and to uncover ideas and opportunities you never before considered. So get out your notebook and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 minutes to new ideas. What input, if you were able to reduce it, would allow you to cut the price for your product or service by 25%. Now, there's a reason that the percentage in this question is as high as it is. Sure, it would sound less scary and more reasonable if I asked you if you could cut your price by 5% or maybe 8%, but that would be missing the point. If you want to potentially be game-changing moves to get ahead of your competition, you need to make big savings and do something bold to get to that leader of the pack position. The best place to find these kinds of savings is in your biggest input cost. Don't settle for parity. Look for those things that are as necessary evil in your business and see if you can turn them into a competitive advantage instead. If you and your competitors have the same basic cost structure and you can slash yours by a major innovation, well, you get the picture. You need to continually look at ways to drastically lower the price of your product, because if you don't, it's possible that your competitors will. If you've ever driven in India, you've probably had some alarming near-death encounters with the brightly painted Tata trucks that fill the highways. They are huge, and rather than using their braking system, they rely on their horns to get other cars out of the way. About 8 years ago, Tata decided to enter the passenger vehicle market, despite the logistical difficulties of making the leap from manufacturing trucks to lightweight single-family cars. The car they came up with, the Nano, uses a two-cylinder engine and much less sheet metal than a comparable vehicle. Its trunk can hold one small bag, and it lacks a passenger side mirror. In other words, anything that is not strictly necessary to fulfill the mission of getting a family from point A to point B has been cut out of this product. They are currently selling a car priced at under $2,000 in the Indian market. The cars have some issues. They are small, slow, and seem prone to catching on fire at inopportune times. Still, Tata is coming to the U.S. market, and despite some production setbacks in India, it clearly has ambitions to succeed here. If they do, it will radically change the nature of the domestic car industry. Would you buy your kid a $13,000 starter car if a similar model were $5,000 cheaper? U.S. car companies have an opinion about who their customer is and what their customers expect to get from and to pay for when it comes to a car. And this could prove very dangerous for Detroit if Tata figures out how to connect with U.S. drivers and start making meaningful sales. If U.S. car companies are going to defend themselves against hungry, aggressive competitors like Tata and their Chinese equivalents, they need to be careful, very careful. These companies have no assumptions or expectations about how they might sell their cars in the United States, nor do they have a history of hitting certain price points or any expectations that a car is only worth selling if it brings a certain amount of profit. They have different philosophies of what a car needs to be in order to satisfy their customer. What if the U.S. customer starts to agree with them? Look at the history of unrest in the Middle East and the resulting upswing in oil prices. Suppose things got worse, not better. A company that knows how to use minimal materials and resources to build ultra-cheap, ultra-fuel-efficient cars and isn't afraid to charge rock-bottom prices for them is going to have a huge advantage in the U.S. marketplace. It will take a cognitive sidestep for Detroit to respond to ultra-cheap imports from the third world. Hopefully, you are willing to take that kind of a sidestep both to develop your product and to ensure you aren't leaving any gaps for a competitor to sneak some kind of game changer into the marketplace. So ask yourself, what input, if reduced, would allow me to cut the price by 25%? Now, if you're able to achieve this objective, then raise it. Could you find savings that would allow you to cut the price to, oh, I don't know, 30%, maybe even 40%? This is a question that you should never stop asking yourself, because if you do, your competition may pass you right by. I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note at phil@killerinnovations.com. Beyond this show, I write about my personal experiences of being in the innovation game for the last two decades. Topics include innovation, creativity, culture, team building, metrics, frustrations, leadership, and how to win. You can find that content over at philmckinney.com. You can also find out information about my book, Beyond the Obvious, including extensive excerpts over at beyondtheobvious.com. You can find hardcover, digital, and audio versions of my book on Amazon or wherever you get your books from. Now, the reason I started this show back in 2005 was to pay back my early mentor. My first mentor, Bob Davis, invested an immense amount of time in training and coaching me, which had a major impact on my career. When I went back and asked him how I could pay him back, he laughed and said I couldn't. I had to pay it forward. If I could ask for a favor, could you help me pay it forward? How? One, by giving us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show. If you want to be part of the conversation between the shows, I hang out in the Innovators community on Slack. The Innovators community is a private community of vetted innovators who help each other succeed. Check it out at theinnovators.community. This episode of Kill Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog going back to 2005 at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week, and in the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.